Hello again and welcome to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am, of course, your host, David Connolly. Well, let's see what we have for you this week. Well, actually, before we get started on this week, and before we even get to the headlines, I'd actually like to make an appeal on behalf of the Mez Ainak site in Afghanistan, where archaeologists are racing against time to try and complete work on stunning archaeology, which is including monasteries filled with delicate but fragile gilded Buddhas. The site is to be mined by a Chinese company exploiting the copper that seems to have been mined there for thousands of years. The remarkable layers of archaeology, however, need more time and more money. And documentary filmmaker Brent Huffman is trying to bring this to the attention of many more people by making a documentary. Brent is risking his own life to document the Buddhas of Mez Ainak. And it's a very modern story of Afghan resources, both mineral and cultural, being subject to the whims of powers greater than it that are seem to be fighting over the land and people. So, you can help him complete this film by donating at Kickstarter. He just needs $30,000 and he's well on his way to achieving that. But with your help, he will achieve it. So to find out, just go along to the Past Horizons website. That's www.pasthorizonspr.com and you'll see a nice big link on the front page. So that was either go along to pasthorizonspr.com, see the link on the front page, or go along to Kickstarter and type in Mez Ainak, which is MESAYNAK. Right, well, thank you for listening to that. Now let's get back to the news. This news, of course, is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view the details in each story, including that source, well, you'll have to go along to the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. So what do we have for you? Well, a 10,000-year-old home is unearthed here in my own bonnie Scotland. Early hominids seem to have had a taste for grass. Yum. Hittites, when they were heading off to Turkey, were ahead of their time in dam building, and I can tell you, with the rain that's coming down just now, I wish they'd tell me the secret. We go from there to new pathway for an ancient flood. This is what they've been discovering in Canada, and it could have caused a massive climate change around 12,500 years ago. We head back into Britain, where we've got a nunnery dig. But it doesn't discover just a nunnery. No, they've got a Bronze Age arrowhead as well. Well done them. Then we're off to Pakistan, where a 3,000-year-old cemetery has been discovered. Then back to Jersey, where Bronze Age axe heads have been x-rayed in a very unusual place. Stone-tipped spears, half a million years old, have been recognised now in the Africas. And we report on one of the most amazing things I have seen this year. Honestly, it's one of the oldest hoards found in Europe. It's Neolithic. And, well, you just have to wait to find out what's got me so excited. We finish once again with the Neolithic and some of our friends down in Cornwall, which is in southwest England. They've discovered a Neolithic monument. Is it a henge? Is it a causewayed enclosure? Is it a hengiform causewayed enclosure? Who knows? Let's find out as well. Well, let's get started. We are in Scotland and we had the great luck to actually be sort of going to a conference where we were able to talk to the finders as well. What they found, and what they believe they've found, is in fact one of Scotland's earliest homes, uncovered in a field called Echlin, near South Queensferry, well, just west of Bonnie Edinburgh. This was during construction work on the new Forth Road Bridge. The radiocarbon dates have been taken from the site, and they seem to be showing it as the oldest of its type found in Scotland. The site dates to the Mesolithic period, around about 10,000 years ago, and the house structure turns out to be a large, shallow, oval pit, nearly 7 metres in diameter. There's also an area suspected to be used for food processing. The reason that we know it was used for food processing is they're finding sort of fish bones and bird bones beneath these post holes, which looks like they were hanging them up to dry. Wooden posts that would have supported the walls of the house, probably covered with turf. They've also discovered several internal fireplaces and more than 1,000 flint artifacts, including tools and arrowheads. Other discoveries included large quantities of, wait for it, they always seem to find this in the Mesolithic, charred hazelnut shells, suggesting they were an important source of food. They not only suggest they were an important source of food, but after 10,000 years, you can imagine that many of the food sources are going to have completely disappeared. So the good old charred hazelnut shell is a bit of a survivor. Archaeologists believe the dwelling would have been occupied on a seasonal basis, probably during the winter months. If you want to see a full report on this find, then just pop along to, yes, you guessed it, Past Horizons, where we've got a lovely article with some lovely images as well. Now, early hominids had a taste for grass. No, come on now, not that sort. In 1993, researchers in Chad unearthed 3.5 million-year-old hominid lower jaw fragments and a few attached teeth. Based on the fossil's age, many anthropologists think that the bones belong to Australopithecus afarensis, but the specimen was found more than 2,400 kilometres further west than any other afarensis bone had been found before, and subtle differences in the size and shape of the fossils led the discoverers to conclude that they had found an entirely new species. They named it Australopithecus Bahr el-Ghazali, after Bahr el-Ghazal Valley, where the bones had been recovered. Since then, researchers haven't found any other Bahr el-Ghazali fossils, and its species status is remaining controversial. With just a jaw and a teeth, it's not too much scientists can say about this specimen and what it exactly looked like or how it lived its life, but analysing the teeth's chemistry is one way to assess what the species ate. Julia Lee Thorpe of Oxford University and her colleagues have revealed that Australopithecus Bahr el-Ghazali mainly ate plants, probably grasses and sedges, and like modern baboons that live on the savannas, probably different parts of the plants, including underground tubers and bulbs. Based on the other types of animals found near the hominid, the researchers say that the species made its home in an open grassland with few trees near a lake. The results mean that by 3.5 million years ago, hominids were probably already capable of eating a variety of foods depending on what was locally available. Being a food generalist may have allowed Australopithecus Bahr el-Ghazali to explore new environments and leave behind the forests in which earlier hominids and their ancestors had resided. Oh, I'm glad I'm over that one. Can people try and find a more mouth-friendly name, please, for new species, like Hobbit for Homo florens? Oh, hold on, no, I'm just getting news through. I've just got a message in from my lawyers. I'm not allowed to use the word Hobbit for Homo floriensis anymore. Sorry about that. Now, a dam unearthed during excavation work in the northern Anatolian province of Qurum reveals construction techniques very similar to those being used today. The dam, which dates back to the Hittite period, is the oldest yet found in Anatolia. That's in the middle of Turkey, by the way. This dam was built 3,250 years ago, using clay, of course, instead of cement. So say the archaeologists working at the excavations at Alakahoyuk. There was a problem of a drought in that period around about 1500 BCE, one that reached as far as Spain. And it seems that 11 to 13 dams were constructed in central Anatolia during the same period to try and combat the drought. This one was ordered to be built by Pudahepa, the wife of King, oh dearie me, Hattusili III, and it was dedicated to the goddess Hepat. The dam had been used to provide water for animals, in fact lasted for thousands of years. Now we head from drought to flood. Typical day in Scotland, I've got to say. As much as 1 million cubic metres of fresh water per second poured into the Arctic Ocean from northwestern Canada, and this might have triggered the last major cold spell on the Earth some 13,000 years ago. Computer simulations indicate ocean currents would have transported the Arctic floodwaters to the North Atlantic near Greenland, thus disrupting the ocean's circulation and causing temperatures to plummet. The 1,200-year-old cold spell, known as the Younger Dryas, interrupted a warm period 12,900 years ago when the massive ice sheet covering much of Canada was melting. During the cold snap, temperatures in the northern hemisphere dropped to about 10 degrees Celsius colder than they are today. So says Richard Peltier, a physicist at University of Toronto And he explained that the dumping waters into the Arctic is a very efficient way to cool the northern hemisphere. The result fits with previous findings of boulders and gravels in the Mackenzie Valley that suggest a giant flood happened at the onset of the Younger Dryas. Co-author Alan Condrum, a physical oceanographer at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, plans to search for more geological clues of a Mackenzie Valley flood. He also is running simulations of what might happen in the future as Greenland's ice sheet melts. I suspect it's not going to be good. Now, talking about nice news, actually, an archaeological dig at a medieval nunnery in Oxford has unearthed a 4,000-year-old Bronze Age arrowhead. But that was a bit of a surprise. The five-week dig at the Archaeology of East Oxford Community Project, Archeox, also revealed other prehistoric flints, medieval and even Roman pottery. The excavation at Littlemore Priory was a collaboration between volunteers and the University of Oxford. More than 500 volunteers gave their time to take part in this project near the Cassam Stadium. Professor Andrew Hamilton, Vice Chancellor of Oxford University, said it was important that the university and the local community maintained an active and close relationship. The fascinating discoveries of the excavation are testament to what can happen when town and gown work together. Archeox is hosted by Oxford University's Department for Continuing Education and is supported by the Heritage Lottery Fund. Italian archaeologists say that they have discovered a cemetery that reveals complex funeral rites dating back more than 3,000 years in Pakistan's Swat Valley, a place that was recently controlled by the Taliban. The Italian mission began digging in the site in the 1950s. The site's called Udgram, a site of a Buddhist treasure in Swat, the northwestern district formerly known as the Switzerland of Pakistan for its stunning mountains, valleys and rivers. Some graves had stone wall, others were protected by walls and enclosures in beaten clay, so said Luca Maria Oliveri, head of the Italian mission. Archaeologists were aware of a pre-Buddhist grave site at Udgram, but only recently discovered the collection of almost 30 graves, tightly clustered and in fact partly intercutting. The presence of a few iron fragments might also be traces of the most ancient use of the metal on the subcontinent. Bodies were first laid to rest in open graves fenced in by wooden railings. Then the graves were reopened and the buried bones partly burnt before the graves were sealed and a burial mound built over them. Men were buried with high-quality ceramics, bowls and cooking pots, and women with semi-precious beads, bronze hairpins and spindles. An X-ray of Bronze Age pot found in a Jersey field last month was carried out at the island's airport. It's found a further 21 axe heads and an exciting new discovery shedding new light on what was happening in the area 3,000 years ago. The original excavation carried out after metal detectorist Ken Reeve reported the find on a plot of land in Trinity confirmed two socketed axe heads inside the pot. A trial X-ray fluorescence scan was carried out by staff from Cranfield University on the first two axes. And guess what it found? Very high levels of lead, in fact almost 55%, which throws some doubt on whether these axes were actually functional tools and objects, as that amount of lead would not have given the axe a very sharp edge at all. Maybe, therefore, they were objects of prestige, something to own, something to show off. But how do they end up in that pot? All axes are believed to date to the late Bronze Age, and they will now be removed from the pot for further investigation. But this is a very interesting time when a lot of depositions of these items seem to be happening and don't get recovered. So what exactly was happening? Perhaps this will help us in our quest to find the answer. Hunting with stone-tipped spears turns out to be 200,000 years old earlier than previously thought, meaning the technology must have been developed by Homo heidelbergensis. I mean, what was I saying about nice and easy names? Anyway, I can cope with that one. Homo heidelbergensis, the last common ancestor between modern humans and Neanderthals. The use of spears for hunting has been dated back to at least 600,000 years ago from sites in Germany, but the oldest spears are nothing more than sharpened sticks. The evidence for stone-tipped spears until now has been no more than 300,000 years old from triangular stone tips found all over Africa, Europe and Western Asia. Jane Wilkins, an archaeologist at the University of Toronto, explained that in Europe and Asia, this technology is first associated with Neanderthals and in Africa with humans and our nearest ancestors. To find out if any stone tips were being used on spears any earlier than that, Wilkins examined sharp stones found at a site called Kathu Pam in Northern Cape region of South Africa. The sediments in which these tips had been found had previously been dated to 500,000 years ago. Wilkins put the stones under a microscope to look for telltale damage caused by use when they're being used as spear tips. From experimental studies, when a point is used as a spear tip, the concentration of damage tends to be greater at the tip rather than along the edges. And that's exactly what she found on the Kathu Pam points. Now, you were wondering what got me excited. Well, here it is. Archaeologists from the University of Tubingen's Institute of Prehistory are working with the Serbian Archaeological Institute in Belgrade to analyse the most comprehensive early Neolithic hoard ever found, a nearly 8,000-year-old collection of jewellery and figurines. The unique hoard is composed of some 80 objects made of stone and clay and bone. The collection from Belica provides a unique glimpse into the symbols of these early farmers and herdsmen in Europe. The objects include stylized female figures, parts of the human body, as well as miniature axes and abstract figures. The stone objects are mainly made of rocks washed out of the mountains and worn smooth by rivers and streams. Neolithic artists have specifically selected the pebbles they wanted from the valleys. Archaeologists mapped the outline of an early Neolithic settlement in June of this year using the distribution of finds on the surface as a guide. In the middle, they found the largely undisturbed hoard. Using modern geophysical prospecting methods, they were even able to bring buried parts of the settlement to light during the summer excavations. If you want to have a look at them, and I really, honestly, have a look, type in hoard Neolithic Belica, and that's B-E-L-I-C-A. Brilliant. Now, to Cornwall, where archaeologists working at a site at Truro in Cornwall, that's down in the southwest of England, have discovered the fragmentary remains of an enclosure built around 5,500 years ago. Preliminary findings suggest that the eastern end of the site may represent a henge, or possibly a causeway enclosure, dating to the early Neolithic period, around about 3,800 to 3,600 BCE. Dan Ratcliffe from Council's Historic Environment Service explained a causeway enclosure was a sizeable circular or oval area enclosed by a large bank and ditch. The ditch, of course, is on the inside. But he remained cautious about the exact function of the structure and whether, in fact, it was a causeway enclosure at all. Around 80 sites with evidence of causeway enclosures are known from southern Britain. If confirmed, the find at Truro would be the first one discovered southwest of the border between Dorset and Devon. Although the Tor enclosure, such as Carn Brea and Helmand Tor, are thought to have been built at the same time and may have served similar functions. Among some of the remarkably well-preserved finds are large sherds of late Neolithic grooved-ware pottery. So you see we're looking at a possible date from the early Neolithic all the way through to the late Neolithic as well. Now, this type of pottery was first produced in Orkney, in the far north of Scotland. One of the most amazing finds, though, is an unusual slate disc engraved on both sides and deliberately placed within a pit. One side has a distinctive checkerboard pattern, while the other side has lozenges with arrowhead decoration. Really worth seeing that one. And guess what? Yes, you can see it on pasthorizonspr.com. That and many, many other stories. Can I remind people, of course, about my own little website as well, Badger, www.bajr.org, where you can find everything you want to know about UK archaeology, and jobs, calendar, library, guidance section, you name it, Badger's there for you. and more can always be found at Stone Pages, the brilliant Stone Pages website, news.stonepages.com. So thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Archaeology News, and we hope you will return to us again. I really do hope you'll return to us again next week, when I'll try not to fluff up my final lines.